Morning, everybody. So, I have, these are my best pair of shoes. These are my Sunday shoes. I've had these shoes for, I think I bought these things like in 2008. These shoes. And I like them because, like, they're slip-ons. So I can slip them on. And there's like these little elastic things there, and they're kind of worn out a little bit. And then if you look in, So, but when you look in the heel's kind of rubbed and worn, and the back's cracked, and I've broken these things down several times, and I've gotten various things on them, and they're very loose too. Like they're just really loose, and so I think. You know, I was just thinking about these shoes and how, you know, they just kind of are, I wear these to work every day. I've hunted in these things, actually, before I had hunting boots. That's true. I've done everything in these shoes. I've worked in them. I've played basketball in them. And it's just kind of like an everyday part of my life, these shoes. And they're worn and they're tired and they're not crisp. They're not fresh. They're overly broken in. Do you have anything that's overly broken in? Like I have a t-shirt at home that is so thin, and there's just like holes everywhere. And those are usually your favorite shirts, right? But one of the things that you can do also is it's like, man, you start thinking. I forget about these shoes a lot for the past. 7 years I put them on every day, and I don't even think about them. You know, they come, they're just like an old pair of shoes that you put on, you slip on every day, and you walk out, and you do that. And, you know, when I first got these shoes, though, I took a lot of time finding these shoes. I really did. I'm picky. If I'm going to spend any kind of money on a pair of shoes, I really take some time on that. And so I probably spent about 3 weeks just looking for shoes. And so I found this pair of shoes, exactly what I want, the type of leather I want. They slip on the whole nine yards. They look good with whatever. And I was really excited when I got those shoes, and I made a big investment. It cost me to get these shoes. I didn't have a lot of money, and I bought these shoes. But, you know, after that, and the years have gone on, this pair of shoes have kind of been, I don't know, forgotten in my life. Really, I mean, I really never think about these shoes until just now. I wasn't even planning on talking about my shoes. But one of the things, though, I think is important is when you've been doing something for a long time is that it can get worn out, it can get tired, it can get forgotten, it could be daily. But I think one of the things that we need in our life is every single day is the freshness of the Spirit of God in our life. Is He fresh? He's living. He didn't just live. He's not just coming back. But He's a living God today for you. And I think so many times in our faith walk, it's like we just, you know, put on these old shoes and slip them on and just go about our day and do other things that are important. And we just throw them off to the side. I do this every single day with these shoes. They've been faithful. They've been good. But there should be a freshness in our walk. Ding. And so today, as we finish our sermon series, And They Were Filled, I just want to focus on the fact that God's love has been poured out for you, in you, over you, in you. His love has been poured out for you. So, Father God, we come to You today. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, this word that is given, Lord, that it's planted in this soil, a fertile soil that is soft and healthy, Lord God. I pray, Lord, if there's anything in this soil, our hearts, Lord, that is just not of You, Lord, I just ask that You would remove the thorn bushes, Lord, remove the rocks, remove the sticks and all of the roots, Lord, that will just cause and choke out the growth of this word. Father God, I pray, Lord, that we would see that You have poured out Your love, by the power of your Holy Spirit over us and in us and through us. Father God, I pray that we wouldn't just walk with the old pair of tired out shoes, but Father God, it would be a fresh walk. I thank you that, Lord, you fill us every single day. Let us not neglect you. So today, Lord, we're mindful of you and we thank you for who you are, our living God, our Savior. So we look to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Romans 5, verses 1 through 8. Every Sunday, you know, it's like you prepare. When Sunday's over, I start, you know, preparing for the following week on Monday. And then start going about my routine. And, you know, when you speak every week, it could be like a pair of tired shoes. Like, how are you going to give a fresh word that week when you're tired or you're exhausted or anything like that? And one of the things that's so beautiful about what God I've seen personally and the way God has moved in me and it has encouraged me is just simple ways. And you guys would say, this is so foolish. No, in simple ways, he encourages me. So when we worship and we get together, you know, like all the worship songs, I don't even know what they are until we have our meeting in the morning. And, you know, I see constantly how Christ is just bringing things together. Every single week when I'm preparing a message, I see just, man, God, you know, confirms it in some way. And he did that this week. He did that this week several times in several different ways. But I think he does that to encourage me on the walk. And I think he wants to do that for you daily in your walk, too. So let's read Romans chapter 8, or chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Let's stop right there. So this is taught, it's coming on the heels of Romans chapter 4, and the very last sentence in Romans chapter 4, it's talking about this justification, this place that we stand, even though that we're fallen men, but we stand just as if you've never sinned in Christ. You've been justified before the Father. Sanctification is the process of becoming Christ-like in this world. Justification is my standing in Him. It's my standing in Him. But sanctification is the process of becoming more like Him. Justification is because I'm saved. I'm saved in Him. God sees me as He sees Christ. So therefore, having been justified by faith, He's talking about the saints. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have peace. Peace, and it's because we're no longer enemies. There's no longer enmity in this. There is a peace between us and God because we're justified through Christ Jesus. Our standing, because we have accepted the salvation that Jesus has offered to us through His death and His resurrection, we are standing as Christ stands before the Father. There's no more war. We're not enemies of God. We're justified. Verse 2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith in this grace in which we stand. It's done by faith. It's done by faith. And there's grace in which we stand. You stand in this. You stand in this grace. And then he says, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Hope. We exalt, we praise, we exalt, we lift up His name. And then there's verse 3. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations. So he's acknowledging the spiritual reality of the believer. The spiritual reality is that you are justified through faith into this grace, and you're standing in it, and you exalt in hope of the glory of God. But then here comes what some people would say, well, here's the reality. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So there's this idea that there will be tribulations, even though that you stand in this grace through this justification. But he's saying that you also exalt in your tribulation. I don't know about you, but man, when we experience trial and tribulation, the last thing that a lot of us feel like doing is exalting. Our flesh does not want to exalt anything. Sometimes we want to cower. Sometimes we want to fight. Sometimes we want to persevere on our own strength. Sometimes we get anxiety, all of these things. But the reality is that tribulation, as we stand in this grace, if we stand in this grace and we experience tribulation, this tribulation, it's going to bring about perseverance. There's a purpose for the tribulation that we experience in this world. It's going to bring about a perseverance. And this perseverance is going to bring about proven character. Proven character is like the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to bear much fruit as you stand in His grace, as you stand justified, as you exalt Him in your time of tribulation, with this hope of the glory of God. Because you know that this tribulation, is you're going to persevere through it. And this perseverance is going to start budding character, fruit. And then proven character, hope. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope. The one thing that it can get very easy to think is that you have to experience tribulations, then perseverance, then character, and then you can have hope. That's not what he's saying. Because if you look at verse 2, it says, "And we exalt him in the hope of the glory of God." So to be saved, there has to be an initial hope. There is an initial hope. But the thing is that he's saying you're moving from hope to hope. That as you experience your tribulation and your perseverance and you're bearing fruit, your hope increases. This is what's going to happen, that your hope will increase. Your hope is going to increase. You know, I think one of the challenges for us is the tribulation. It's this mark of the flesh. It's the scars of the past. Does anybody have some pennies? Any of the ladies have a purse with pennies in them? No one has pennies? Just need a couple pennies. Just give me a handful of pennies. You have a penny? I need some more. Give me some more pennies. Whoa, you have a lot of pennies. My goodness.
Got a pocket full of change.
All right, there we go. I need some more pennies. You got some more pennies? You're not going to get these pennies back. There's three. Maybe if I can keep them up. So you have all these pennies here. And I got some shoes. That's right, Ed. I can get some new shoes. I can get some new shoes. You got some pennies? All right, here we go. I love this. Oh, there's a dime. Someone gave me a dime. I don't want a dime. You take the dime. Okay, we're good. So we got all of these pennies here, and there we go. We have a penny. You know, it's funny that if you look at these pennies, who's ever collected coins before? Anybody ever collected? Oh, man, I used to love collecting coins. So awesome. And so you start collecting coins, and then your goal was to, like, get every coin from every year. And if you're fancy, you get a book. When I started collecting coins, I just had a bag. But then I started doing a little bit of research on coins, you know, like, you know, there's like these different ones that were minted and they have different flaws and things. And the flaw actually made the coin more valuable. And so you're always looking for those. And then you'd have like different types of nickels or, you know, wheat pennies. And then you have all these other pennies. And but the one thing I always notice when you scrounge through, you know, when you're trying to do your coin collection is that you kind of want the coin to be nice and crisp, right? And, you know, you'd go through these pennies and you would look through these pennies and you'd find these things everywhere. And I remember I'd find them in the couches and you dig your hand in that couch to grab that penny and it's just, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what you're going to get. And then sometimes you would find them like in a change drawer in the car. Or the worst part, I think, was when you would have some pennies that were sitting in a cup holder where there's like residue from stuff that has over time, they're just funky. Funky pennies. And, you know, look at these pennies with me, Tom. I look at some of these pennies, and I got some nice shiny ones in here. Got a couple nice ones in here. Like, you can see the shine on this. Like, this one's, like, real new. Look at that one. And then I got some other ones in here that are not so new. Like, that has, like, literally stuff caked on it. Whose penny was this? And man, you got some of these that are turning like blue. And some of these, you know, and then they have the dates on the pennies. So the older the penny is, it's harder to find a penny that's kind of has that new crisp and clean thing. Now they have some pennies that are uncirculated, right? Controlled environment where the things of this world don't really like scar the penny, you know. But the thing is I kind of look at us like pennies. We're all like pennies. No penny has traveled the same way. You know? I mean, I don't know how many little kids have put this in their mouth. You just don't know. I mean, people do some weird stuff with money. Sometimes they're found on the ground. I don't know. I wonder if any of these pennies were just left by its owner. And somebody was walking along and a penny for your thoughts. Grab it and put it in there, you know, and now it's just recirculated. I don't know what the story is with all of these pennies, but I know this, that these pennies are in various stages of life. They're all marked differently. And, you know, my flesh says if I was to collect something, the older pennies that are kind of like, this one has some white stuff on it. I don't know what that is. You know, those are pennies that you don't want to collect. For me, as a human, this is not a penny that I would really want to collect. And it's got something cool on it, but you know, all of us though, we experience trials and tribulations in this life, and our life is like this. We experience a tremendous amount of loss. Something dramatically happens to us as we age, and we experience life, and we experience the cup holders and the gunk and the stuff and the rejection when we're left on the street corner from somebody. You know, and then once in a while, you know, God's gracious and we get picked up by someone else and, you know. But the reality is that the longer that you live, the rougher it gets. But the thing about these pennies are, is that no matter what they've experienced, got this one and this one. No matter what they've experienced, the trials, the tribulation, the rejection, the who knows? People do all kinds of stuff. Some people put these pennies in machines and flatten them out. Right? You ever see those machines where they crank them through and then it becomes something else? These things go through a lot. And they're like us. But the reality is of these pennies is that they all still hold the same value. They all hold the same value. And our lives are like that. And what this scripture says to me is that when you're justified, yes, you're going to experience trial and tribulation and the marks and the bruises of this world. But so many of us, we look at the penny like a collector would. And we say, it's not valuable. It's not lovely. It's not But there is a value, an intrinsic value in this penny. And I think as I was preparing this week, it's like, you know, I could have prepared all these different things and half the stuff I'm not really even talking about. But it's just this one sentence that really sticks out to me. It's not about the trial. It's you're going to experience the tribulation. You're going to experience that, and you can persevere even if you're dropped and you're disowned or you experience pain. I love Scripture because it doesn't focus on the negative aspects that we experience in life, the fallen aspects, but he says right here in verse 5, hope does not disappoint. Hope in Christ, hope in God is not going to disappoint you. And then I love this, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom is given to us. And so many of us experience so much pain, and our response to God, so many times in the flesh, when we try to respond to God in the flesh, it's, we don't believe you can love us. We don't believe we're redeemable. We don't believe that we're lovable. We don't believe, but what if this? You know, you forgot me when I was left in that, I was drowning in that cup holder with all that kid snot all over me. And we look at the things and the trials and our experiences, and they harden us. They harden us. And we have these wounds and we have these scars and these things of this world, they harden us. And it hardens us. And we begin to think like a collector would think. And then we forget about our value. Our value. And I love what it says. It's not just that God loves you. It's not that Christ loves you. But Scripture says that, it says right here, because the love of God has been poured out. Poured out. He's emptied himself. He's poured out. It's a verb. It speaks of this inexhaustible abundance or supply. He's just been poured out. I was thinking of Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. It says this. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. He says, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Hope. Even Matthew 26, verse 28, when we take communion, he says, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. He's poured himself out for us. Rebirth. He takes these pennies and he polishes them. He takes the things and the scars and all of these experiences of this world that he makes, and not only are they valuable, but he makes them beautiful again. You see? But so many of us, we sit in this. We sit in all of this filth from our journey. But what he promises, and he says, I've poured out myself. I've poured out myself. Isn't that amazing? Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Now, some of us may say, well, that's very emotional. Our hearts poured out love. And sometimes, you know, when you're this way, it's really hard to love. It's really hard to be emotional because you're just hardened. You're crusty. You're just crusty and not lovely. That's how you feel. And so all of this Jesus stuff, all of this love stuff, all of this emptying stuff, I'm not getting it. But the reality is that this is not just an emotional experience. There is emotion in it. So if you're someone who walks in faith only by knowledge, you're missing out. Because he has poured out into your heart all of his love by the power of his Holy Spirit. He doesn't just give it to you. He doesn't just empty himself. But he does it in power by the Holy Spirit. But it's also an experience that's not just about feeling. It's an experience that's trapped in time and history. It's about reality. And so it goes to reality in verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, someone may dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So one, this love that is poured out in the reality of the death of Jesus Christ for the sins of this world. It's not to the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just pour out love so you can feel good, like some kind of just fuzzy feeling. You can receive that. God knows this penny. He knows how to clean it, how to touch it, how to reach it. But also, there's a reality. A reality of this literal death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it says, she speaks about the reality of us. That it was done in the right time that he died for us. For who? The ungodly, the unwanted, the broken. And then he shows this contrast. Somebody won't die for a righteous man, but somebody may die, possibly, for a good man. What does that mean? A righteous man, he's showing a contrast between a good man and a righteous man. A good man is someone who's righteous, but they have these good deeds. Their life and their righteousness is affecting someone else's life. Now, a righteous man is somebody who's righteous in and of myself, but I'm also about me. I'm selfish. A good man, his goodness touches others. So there's this great contrast between these two. Though perhaps for a good man, someone will dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. Do you guys mind? Okay. You can grab them or whatever. The question I have, though, is through this. I didn't want to end this series with us talking about the truth of God, the truth of the Spirit, the life of God that he offers. I didn't want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit and the supernatural that he does in this world for his glory. And I didn't want to just talk about fruit. I didn't want to talk about how just the Holy Spirit draws people that are unsaved to him. But I wanted us to walk away with this sense that Christ poured out his love for us. That he demonstrated that. And he continues to demonstrate this. And he does it by the power of his Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God brings God, who is love, to us. God is love. And really what I wanted us to walk away with was this understanding that God, he sees us, he knows us, you are redeemable. You can be cleaned up But you, no matter what, dirty or not, are valuable. You are valuable. He desires to change us. He desires to give us meaning and purpose. The Holy Spirit loves you. He loves you. He loves you. But you have a decision to make. Do you stand firm in His grace, or do you look at this? You have a decision. Do you stand firm, or are you just so overwhelmed by the flesh, by the world, by the experience, by the pain, by the loneliness? But He pours Himself out to overcome all of that. And it's by faith that you're saved, and it's by grace that you can stand in Him even as you experience a trial. And your hope, as you stand in your junk, as you allow the Holy Spirit in faith, in submission to Him, in trust, in hope, and as it rises up, and as you walk through a trial, He's not going to just remove you from a trial. But as you walk through the trial in Him, He is going to build up hope and more hope, hope upon hope. He's going to start bearing fruit, and you're going to be even more hopeful. You're going to be more aware as you're bearing fruit, and as you see Him do the miraculous and the healing and the restoration project begins in your life through a trial, what's going to happen is you're going to be encouraged. You're going to see the mighty hand of God and the cleansing of His Spirit in your life. As you walk through it, despite it, He desires to walk with you. It's so important to know. But so many of us are like Peter. We're always looking at the storm or the water. And we say that this defines us. This is my value. I'm not valuable. This is, you know, I remember when I first went to church, I felt like I couldn't go to church. I felt like there's no way I'm going to be with those people. But let me tell you something. I'm now a pastor at a church, and if I would have known what I know now, I would have no problem sitting in here. Isn't that the reality, though? That's the reality. That we're all like this. But it's all this perception. This penny is not valuable. It's disgusting. If I had dropped it, I wouldn't even think twice of it. It's a perception. It's a thought. But what God says matters as well. You see, He's the one that places value. He's the one that forges this. He's the one that creates it and has a purpose for it. God loves. He wants to save you. He wants to validate you. He wants to transform you. He wants to give you a purpose and a meaning. He wants to empower you. It's personal. He's an intimate God. Have you ever seen, like, when I was a little kid and I collected these pennies, man? Like now, it's like these shoes. Sometimes, you know, I can walk by a penny now. But when I was a kid and I collected them, it's like that lost coin. I would dig my hand in that couch, and I'd be like, oh, it's gross. All kinds of stuff in there that I left probably because I was the only kid in the house. And I would reach in there, and I would search, and I would just dig in there. And, you know, that's how God is. I think that's the beauty of Jesus Christ, you see? He who was not sin became sin. Just think about it. God came down. He put on flesh, and He just met you right there in your slop, in your stuff. He digs in that cup holder, and he just gets it all those pennies. I remember as a kid, just I would grab pennies everywhere, and I'd wash them off and all this stuff. But man, I would just get it. Just was everywhere. But I had a purpose. There was a plan. I was excited to get these things. And I remember I would clean them up and I would lay them all out. And I would look at all these different pennies. And I would each one had a story. What's the date on this one? What's unique and different about this one? And then sometimes you get these pennies that were just like, man, look at that thing. That thing has a huge gash in the side of it. And then you start thinking, like, wonder what happened to that. And that's us. But God, he pours himself out. He's so personal and intimate. And the things that you think that mark you and mar you and have just monopolized your life, you know, he just reaches down and he's so intimate and he goes, I understand, I see it. But you know what? You're in my hand. You're in my hand. You've been justified and you can stand firm in the time of trial. And you can see as I clean you up that my purposes will unfold. If you listen to me, if you seek me, if you find your purpose in me and not in others, he's intimate. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He conveys and places this power, this love. It's so powerful. If you were to think of the one word that really describes God, it is love. If I were to describe what is the fruit of the Spirit all about, what are the gifts of the Spirit, what is the truth, for, who is it for? What is new life? Who is that for? When you start thinking about the theology, pneumatology, the study of the Spirit, what is it all about? It's about God's love poured out into our lives. Amen. So I think we're just going to end there. Why don't we just bow our heads for a moment?